Good morning. This morning we will be presenting a cantata entitled Jesus, the Advent of the Messiah. The music was written by Mary McDonald and the lyrics were written by Rose Aspinall. And before we begin, I would like to issue a couple of thank yous. First of all, to our narrators, Pastor Jeff and Anna Anderson. Scratch that. I guess we're even now. Pastor Dennis. Wow. Also, our audio and visual technicians, David Tucker and Mike Anderson, and especially our rehearsal accompanist, Ruth Ann Elliott, who during our rehearsals had to simulate an entire orchestra just on the piano. So, now this cantata incorporates beautiful music into the Christmas story, and I'd like to point out a couple things that are non-traditional aspects that I found interesting. First of all, in the piece called There Is Room, it's not having room in the inn or in the stable, but rather it makes a statement that there is room in our heart for Christ. And also, typically during the Christmas season, we celebrate and focus on the birth of a little baby. But in the selections, Born a Mighty King, and especially in Jesus, the High and Holy One, she reminds us that we serve a powerful King. So we hope that you are inspired by this music. However, we are singing to the accompaniment of a recording CD, which doesn't stop between numbers. So if you are moved at any time to applaud, I ask that you please hold your applaud till the end of the service. And now, Jesus, the Advent of the Messiah.
Thank you. come. Come to the manger of Christ. Herein lies the mystery. God, come to earth as a baby. At long last, the fullness of time has come.
The waiting, longing world sees the promise. God comes to us in a most unexpected way.
And the years of silence are over. Ancient prayers long whispered in dark rooms and on bright mountaintops are answered tonight in a helpless infant.
Angel announcements? Previously unseen stars in the heavens? Yes, in an instant the world has changed. Glory fills the air. Shepherds and kings, rich and poor alike, are drawn to the manger and are welcomed. Only God could have orchestrated this gathering.
And now, under those stars, as Mary looked at her newborn baby, she could still hear the echo of the angel's greeting. Don't be afraid. You are highly favored. She was the recipient of God's grace, chosen to bear his son.
And this little one? He was the Messiah, the Son of the Most High. Suddenly, Mary understood something she could not have understood before. Every question, every doubt, and every fear had one answer tonight, and he was right here in her arms. Angels announced to shepherds, a Savior has been born. He is Christ, the Lord, the Anointed One. Prophets, priests, and kings are all anointed. This baby is all three. He's the priest who brings us to the Father.
He is the prophet who is the embodiment of truth.
He is the king who leads the way.
He is Jesus, the sweet holy child born in a manger, come to deliver us from our sins. From eternity past, Jesus was.
Jesus, the one who would say, "Truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am."
Jesus, who would say to the Father, "Glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." He is the perfect child of heaven, the lovely, pure, gracious gift. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi came from the east and arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is he who is to be born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him."
They were kings, searching for the eternal king of all kings, to pay homage to him and to bring gifts. They expected to find him in a palace, or perhaps the great temple in Jerusalem.
But instead, the star led them until it came to the place where Joseph and Mary were staying with Jesus. They entered, fell down, and worshiped him.
Thank you.
was a still, cold night when the mystery occurred. Now, the answer to the question of every longing heart would be answered by the birth of a baby in a humble manger. The question, is there room enough for me?
The answer would come in the poverty of a manger. There, the lowly would find their welcome, for only in the ordinary surroundings of a stable would shepherds dare enter.
And for those seekers who would leave the comforts to find the promise, the answer came, there is room for everyone, everyone willing to come.
Yes, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and full of truth.
Messiah came to us, and of all the titles, of all the descriptions by which we could know him, he chose the name Jesus, a name as common and approachable as anyone could imagine.
The King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, was born in a manger. He was the baby who would be given the name above all names. He was the high and holy one, clothed in human flesh, the author of life. He was the Savior, the Messiah.
Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus.
Oh,
Well, good morning. I'm glad you're all with us today. Welcome, visitors. What a wonderful crowd, and what wonderful music. That's beautiful. For those of you who don't know, my name is Dennis, and I'm so glad you're here this morning. You know, I can't believe that Christmas is already here. You know, it's so close. It's in a few days. And by the way, just by way of invitation, if you have the time and ability, I would encourage you to come on Wednesday night when we have our candlelight service. It's gonna be wonderful. Listen, I know that Christmas is a busy time and it's about family and all, but I promise you, if you come Wednesday night at 7 p.m., you'll be glad you did. So I just want to invite you to come and enjoy that Christmas Eve candlelight service with us. You don't want to miss it. It's hard to believe that Christmas is coming so quickly, and I wonder sometimes if you know, we kind of fail to prepare for it in our heads. We just sang about the names of Jesus, and we focused on his title, his name Jesus. It's strange that he chose to be called that, as the last part of that. That narration says, and so the Messiah came to us, and of all the titles, of all the descriptions by which we could know him, he chose the name Jesus, a name as common and approachable as anyone could imagine. You know that we know him by other names, right? He has so many names and so many titles. We know the title Emmanuel, or the name Emmanuel. It means God with us. Because he is God and he came to be with us. He is our sympathizer and our strength. He is known as the King because he is sovereign. He is not only the ruler, but he is the very creator of the universe. Did you know that? John teaches us that. And he sustains the world and us at every moment. He is called Christ because he's the source of eternal life. And then we come to that title Jesus that we talked about, that name Jesus. You know, that was a very common name. I mean, that was like Mike or Joe, or, you know, it was so common back then. Why would he choose that name? You know, that word, that name Jesus, is just a transliteration of what was then Joshua, pronounced Yeshua, which actually has a meaning. The meaning of Jesus is God is salvation. God is salvation. You know, I don't know about you. I don't know what your Christmas past has looked like. I don't know what your Christmas present looks like. But for many of us, Christmas can be a kind of a strange mixture, isn't it? On one end, we see the beauty and the warmth and the lights and the feasts and the family and all these wonderful things, the gifts. And then at the same time, while all this beauty is happening, while all this wonder is happening around us, and the children are so excited. At the same time, isn't it strange that there seems to be in so many of us a sort of coldness, a sort of sadness, almost a sort of emptiness, we might say. It begins to be, for many people, a desperate time. And they're trying to figure out, what is it? What is it about Christmas that's missing? They feel it, they know it, but they don't know what it is. Why do I feel this way? In this season of light and hope and joy and feasting and family, why do I feel this strange sadness? It's a good question. Something magic is missing. And so we try to comfort ourselves with food and temporary pleasures and possessions and decorations, and all those in the end kind of leave us empty. So there's a very real sadness around Christmas time, and I think most of it comes from realizing that things didn't really turn out the way they should. The hopes and dreams we had for our lives and for our relationships somehow didn't turn out the way we had hoped, and we mourn the loss of what could be, what could have been, perhaps what we know should be, something that's missing. And as C.S. Lewis said, this kind of emptiness of the realization that we have certain desires that this world could never fill means that we were created for another world. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then Christmas will forever be elusive to you. A sort of meaningless exercise, devoid of any real hope, of any real peace, of any real joy, and we'll always be wrestling with those questions. But I want to tell you this morning. No matter what life is dishing out, no matter what you're experiencing right now, I want to let you know that the real power, the real joy of Christmas is available to you. Like Christmas was really meant to be. Jesus said, "I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved. And I will go in and find pasture. And the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I come that you might have life and that you might have it," catch this, "abundantly." Isn't that what we're all looking for? We're not just looking for life, we're looking for abundant life. Like something more than just getting up and brushing our teeth and going to work and cooking our meals and rinse, repeat. I mean, there's got to be more. And Jesus demonstrated that his love is the only way to have that true peace. I don't know if you know this, but many of us talk about what Christmas is. I remember as a kid one time asking someone, "What's Christmas about?" And they said, "I think it's about giving gifts." And some will say, "Well, it's about family," or some will say it's about this or that. But I want to tell you what Christmas really is the story of. Christmas is a love story. I don't know if you knew that. You know, there's lots of things, by the way, we could say about the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. We could say it's a thriller. We could say it's an action adventure. We could say it's a mystery novel. But of all the things we could say about it, there's one thing that surpasses everything, and that is, it is a romance. Did you know that the whole Bible is God's story of romance? Chasing you, pursuing you? While you and I were running in the other direction, while you and I didn't care about him, while we were aloof, while we were pursuing other things, he was pursuing us. See, Christmas is a love story, and here's why. Because I don't want you to forget that while Christmas is a focus on Jesus' birth in this manger, in this cradle, I want you to understand that you will have no conception of the cradle without a clarity of the cross. Because the cradle leads inexorably to the cross. That's why he came. He didn't just come as a baby. He came ultimately to become a man, to live a perfect life, and to be put to death. Why? For me. For you. Because he loved me enough. He loved you enough to chase you, to pursue after you, to pay the highest price in the universe just so you and I can be with him. That's the message of Christmas. Do you understand that? It's a story of love. And religion has made such a mess out of that. I want you to know that the story of the Bible, the story of Christ, is not about the rules and rituals and regulations of man-made religion. It's about a relationship with him. And that's all he wants from you. And that's all he wants for you. It always was. And so I want to tell you this morning, as Christmas is coming, it's just around the corner. As the Grinch would say, it's practically here. And as it's approaching, I want you to think of how wonderful that story is.
It is the story of God's love for you. The most epic romance. And if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want to let you know that it doesn't require doing some religious things. And it doesn't require you getting your life all cleaned up first so you can be good enough for God. Because listen, none of us are. Because we're all messed up in our own special way. Me first. All you have to do is surrender to the love that He's already offered you, to accept the price that He's already paid for you. So if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can today. You can right here, right now, this moment, and maybe let this Christmas be the first Christmas that really makes sense. One filled with unspeakable joy and the true spirit of Christmas. All it takes is for you and I to humble ourselves, admit that we need Him, and lay our life at His feet. If you want to know the joy that a relationship with Christ can bring, you can this Christmas, maybe for the first time. You say, how do you do that? It's simple. You recognize that you need Him. You admit your sin, your faults, your failures. You accept His gift for you. And maybe you can pray a prayer something like this. Would you bow your heads with me right now? Lord, I know that You exist. I don't care what the world says, Lord. I know You exist. And I know that You've been reaching out to me, Lord. You've been pursuing me all my life. You've been tapping me on the shoulder. You've been giving me moments of clarity, Lord, but I've been ignoring those. But Lord, I know right here, right now, that You are real and that You are the creator of heaven and earth and that You not only created me, but that You've continued to sustain my life and to protect me and to provide for me, to give me my breath and my heartbeat. And all of this, Lord, You've been doing while I've been living in rebellion against You. You've been pursuing me, Lord. And so I know that You're real, and I also know that You love me and that You willingly came down to earth and were willing to be born as a baby and live as a man, enduring all the evil and insults that we could throw at You. And then You willingly laid down Your life, paying the ultimate price just to be with me forever. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Forgive my pride, my arrogance. Forgive me for the foolishness that has consumed my heart, that's caused me to live a life outside of Your will, to try to seek happiness with anything other than You. So, Father, here and now, I humbly and graciously accept the gift of Christmas. The gift of Your love, the gift of salvation through Jesus. And I joyfully accept Him as my Lord and Savior. I admit my fallenness. I admit my need from Him. I repent of my sins. And I want to follow You, Lord. I want to please You in everything that I do and say and think. And I pledge to live my life in the pursuit of Jesus. To surrender my life to Him from this moment forward. And thank You, Lord. Thank You so much for reminding me of this Christmas season. Thank You, Lord, for Christmas that reminds us of who You are and what You've done because of Your great love for us. Help me, Lord, from this time forward to understand and experience the true joy of Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas, Your love for me. And a relationship with You that brings with it real meaning, real purpose, real peace, real joy, and real hope, not only here and now, Lord, but for eternity. Thank You. Thank You for Christmas. In Jesus' name, amen.